Amen. So maybe we can read, let's just read the title of message 5 together. It's pretty simple, but I want to emphasize something. Okay, so do we have our outlines out? Okay, let's start off. 1, 2, 3, go. The church, a corporate priesthood. Okay, so what we have seen all through the first 4 messages of this conference is matters on the priesthood. And my fear is that each of you will go home in a very individualistic way and think about being a priest, right? And just being a priest in yourself. What can I do? How can the Lord move in me? How can the Lord grow in me? How can the Lord become, you know, the priest in me to serve God? What can I do for the Lord, right? What would I do? What would Jesus do in this situation? And what would I do, kind of thing? And what we have to realize is that the Lord is not after a bunch of individual people running around doing things for him. And you know, I don't mean to knock Christianity at all, our dear brothers and sisters, but I feel like it's very prevalent among believers to think, what is your gift, right? What is your gift, brother? You know, what is your gift to the Lord? What are you doing for the Lord? But what we have to realize is that, one, we all have a function, so it doesn't matter what our gift is, right? But we're functioning together as a corporate priesthood. And in the same way, not only do we function together, but this place, this church life is our safe haven, right? This is where we hide ourselves. This is how we are able to go on. This is how we're able to do the priesthood. Without it, it's impossible. It really is. The Lord is after a group of people, not just that have his life and nature. He's not after a bunch of babies in Christ, right? He wants a bunch of priests, right? A gathering of priests to take care of his desire on the earth, to really express him and represent him on the earth until there is the ability for him to return, right? And so this is what I kind of want to show you today in what the priesthood is. And, you know, we have the title says The Church. And I know we all have heard this term a lot more and more and more, and you know, you've heard it throughout your whole life. But you have to realize this is the corporate priesthood. And even just in the word priesthood, that's the word itself, you know, connotates something that is corporate. I was looking it up, and you know, you can think of different hoods, right? A neighborhood, which is a bunch of neighbors, right? They're all together in one area. That's your neighborhood. Or a brotherhood. There's a bunch of brothers together. This is, you know, this is my brotherhood. And so the word hood, whenever it's attached to something, it can mean multiple things. But in one aspect, it says individuals sharing a specific state or character. So when we talk about the priesthood, we can't, individualism is gone, right? These are a bunch of individuals, but they share a characteristic, right? Amen. They share a specified state. And in the same way, that's what we are. That's what the Lord's after, us to be functioning members of the body together with one another. Amen. And not just functioning together, but building each other up, Amen. Bringing each other on. And that's the goal of God, and that's how he's going to accomplish his will on this earth. Amen. So that's the basis for everything. We have to have that basis. We have to step out of our individualistic atmosphere, our individualistic bubble, and realize, you know, the brothers, the sisters sitting next to me, these are my co-racers, right? These are the ones that are running the race with me. These are the ones that are accomplishing God's will with me, and I need them, right? Isn't there a song that you guys all like? My going on is for you. Your going on is for me. Not separate entities, something like that. Yeah. So same way, this is what we have to realize. Otherwise, we will be defeated so fast. You'll go back to your locality, and you will be defeated so quickly. The enemy loves to pick off individuals so easily. You know, he picks me off. I get separated from the saints, and all of a sudden I start having, you know, thoughts like, what am I doing in life? Is my job fulfilling me? What have I grown up to be? I wanted to grow up to be someone that was, you know, successful at something. What am I doing in the job I am? You know, my wife is upsetting me today, or my daughter is being rebellious. And then you start questioning everything, and it's just this spiral. But then you get around the saints, and what happens? You touch God, and none of that stuff matters. It's amazing. It's interesting how that works. But that is the formula. You touch God, you get into the Word, you enjoy the Lord with the saints, and all of a sudden your view is changed. Right. It goes from, woe is me, to wow. The Lord is actually trying to do something on this earth, and I'm actually a part of it. What a blessing. Yeah. Wow, the Lord has had mercy on me. I am still open and soft to him after all these years. You know, even as a 16-year-old, that the Lord has had mercy on you all. That you all would be just sitting here. And you need to realize that. And just be impressed with the Lord's love for you. Amen. And with the with what he is doing on this earth through the church.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go on, and that's just kind of my opening. I want you to set that as your basis and keep that in mind as we go through these points, because I think that is the basis for going on in the Lord. Let's read number one together. Not individual priest.
But priesthood.
Okay, so 1 Peter 2:9a, sisters, go.
But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people acquired for a possession.
Okay, so race, priesthood, holy nation, people. None of that's individualistic, right? Right? So we got to keep that. It doesn't say you are a person, a single individual, a, you know, lone ranger out here on any of this. This is a race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people. Okay, so that's what we are, and that's how we go on. Okay, so now we're going to get into some aspects of what the priesthood is. So, brothers, let's all read together on A. Composed from all the nations. Okay, so I would like the brothers to read Acts 13:1.
Now there were in Antioch, in the local church, prophets and teachers, Barnabas and Simeon and Lucius.
Okay, so it matters why all these individuals are mentioned. So when you look at the footnotes, you get into it. Barnabas was a Levite, okay? Simeon was from Africa. Lucius was Cyrenian. Manaen was European. And finally, Saul was a Jew, right? So they were all meeting together. So what we have to realize is there was diversity here. You know, companies these days, my company especially, we're all about diversity. You know, we will hire for diversity, which is good. I'm glad that we do. I'm glad it's not just dependent on some white-haired men up at the top that just pick guys that look like them, right? But in that respect, it's fabricated. But what's glorious here is you look around the room and you just look at hair color, and it just goes. You know, it goes from, you know, bright blonde all the way down to, you know, darker black, and everything in between. So I'm Caucasian, and my preference is Caucasian, right? Growing up, I grew up around in a Caucasian family, and it was easier for me to be around Caucasian individuals. And even being in the church life, I was like, man, what is this? You know, there's just all these different people. And it bothered me, honestly, because I was much more comfortable sitting next to a Caucasian brother instead of sitting next to, you know, a Korean brother or a Japanese brother or a Chinese brother or even a Hispanic brother, right? But as I've gotten older, I've really started to appreciate the diversity in the church life, because it proves something. It proves that we're not here because we have the same skin color.
That's right.
It proves that we're not here because we have the same upbringing. Yeah. It proves we're here because we have Christ.
Amen.
And you know what? If it wasn't for Christ, we wouldn't be together. You go to any other gathering, and you just see people gather together based on what they look like and where they grew up, you know? And that's just how it is. That's humanity. But it is amazing that there is a place where people gather together, not because of how they grew up, but because of what they have inside.
Amen.
Right? And so you, whether you realize it or not, as you grow older, you will more and more appreciate the church being a diverse place that is a haven for anyone. You know, that the only qualification is Christ.
Amen.
So let's go to B, includes all ages. Maybe sisters, let's read 2 Timothy 1:5. Okay, and brothers, on 1 Timothy 4:12a. Okay, so in 2 Timothy, it talks about your grandmother Lois, your mother Eunice, and also in you, which is Timothy. And he was in his youth at the time, probably somewhere between in his 30s or so. So one thing to realize is that also in the church, we have to realize there are all ages. There is a place for all ages, and this is amazing. You know, many movements today, they're with the young people. Or they're with older ones. And when those older ones die, there's nothing left. And when those young people grow up to be not young people, well, there's nothing left either. So it is amazing that in the church life, there are those that are young, there are babies, There are those that are teenagers. There are those that are working. And there are the grandparents. Because we need all of them, right? The grandparents can't go out on the campus and preach the gospel, right? Or they can, but it's harder. But they have the knowledge, the experience that we need so that we don't go off on crazy tangents trying to save people, right? It is a balance that affords the way for the Lord to move in a fluid way on this earth. So let's go on to C, where Christ is all and in all. Let's see. Have the sisters read Ephesians 2:15 through 16.
Abolishing in his flesh the law of the commandments and ordinances, that he might create the two in himself into one new man, so making peace, and might reconcile both in one body to God through the cross, having slain the enmity by it.
And so, as I touched earlier, really, all of this, all these two types above, these two aspects, these two facts, really they just prove out one thing. And that one thing is that the only reason we're here is because of Christ.
Amen.
I mean, there's nothing else really that would cause us to be here, right? I mean, it's a hodgepodge group of people that all have their own problems. I have more problems than I would like to even share. But it's great because we can come together and just be brothers and sisters in the Lord with each other and enjoy the Lord together. It's a safe haven. You have to realize the church needs to be your cleft in the rock, the place you can hide yourself, where you feel the Lord's presence through the saints.
Amen.
So let's move on to two, enjoying and serving Christ corporately. Let's read that together. Enjoying and serving Christ corporately. Okay, let's read all together Song of Songs 1:4a.
Draw me, we will run.
Okay, let's read that one more time and emphasize me and we.
Draw me.
We will run after you.
Okay, so this I have really appreciated this verse more and more over the years. This is in Song of Songs, and it's talking about the lover being drawn by the Lord. But there's a phrase that says, draw me and we. So where does that come from? You know, why draw me and then we? But what we have to realize is that we have to enjoy and serve the Lord corporately. I've shared this story in the past, so forgive me if you know I'm repeating myself. I only have a few stories. There were a group of us that grew up in Austin together, and we were all very close. There were babysitting groups, and we all were within like two years of each other, 2 or 3 years of each other. Tyler was there as well, and so we progressed, and it was funny because we all went to the conference. We all rode the roller coaster of the conferences together, right? You come out, you're like, wow, we're all going to pursue the Lord together. And then you go back to your individual schools because none of us really went to the same schools. And it was like, oh my goodness, this is really hard. And then you get back to that next conference and you write it out. And so we progressed and we progressed. And then we all went to university. And some of us went to UT. Some went to UTSA. And we just, I don't know. I can only speak for myself, but there was a time period in which I was just not pursuing the Lord. And I think that's probably safe to say for a lot of us. We just kind of all got worn down by the age. And we just kind of fell into a slump. But I still remember, I can't remember what year. I was trying to remember what year. But it must have been my junior year, I think, in college. So I was 05, 06, somewhere around there. But I was driving my car to my apartment. I was in between Guadalupe and Lamar on 38th Street. This is like vivid to me. And I got a call from one of these brothers. And, you know, I hadn't talked to him in a long time. Whenever we saw each other, it was like we were brothers again. But we never really went out of our way to, I mean, it wasn't like I was driving to San Antonio to see him and coming back. And so we were just kind of doing our own thing. I got a call from him. And I don't even remember really what he said. But all I do remember is that it was something along the lines of, John Mark, I had a turn, I'm loving the Lord, and I'm going on, and we all should. And that blew me away. I mean, I wasn't anywhere, I was not pursuing the Lord, to say the least. And I was just struck that he would call me out of the blue and say that. I don't know what the Lord, looking back and talking to him, he called a bunch of us. And the Lord just bothered him to call us. And it floored me. I mean, I got home and I was like, that was weird. what was he doing calling me like that? Why would he say that? I mean, yeah, I'm a believer, but that was weird. And you know what it was? It was a draw me, and we will run after you. And you know, after that, all of us, one by one, we all had a turn. We all went to a Bible school in California. We all went, you know, and started meeting again. And right now, we're all in the church life meeting. And I really believe this fact in the Bible of draw me, we will run after you. You have to lay hold of that. And when one of you has a turn, you have to drag the others along with you.
Amen.
You have to be the one that's bold enough. You know, he was bold enough. That was a bold call to make. He hadn't talked to me in probably, you know, 6 months, and I hadn't seen him in a while. You know, we were like brothers, but it was a bold call to make for him to be able to say, after all we had been through, after all I'd seen him do, after all he'd seen me do, for him to be able to call and say, John Mark, I had a turn. I love the Lord, and we need to go on together. What is that? That is the priesthood.
Amen.
That is what we need. There is no way that I could have even made a turn. I was in too many things. I mean, you know, the Lord knows. The Lord knows what he would have needed to do to get me, and this was what he used. But on my own, there was no way I could have made a turn and said, Lord, I'm for you, I'm for the church, I'm going on. I'll be standing up in front of kids someday speaking. This is crazy. This is crazy, right? There's no way. But through one call, because a brother was burdened for his friends, what do you guys call them, church life friends? What was that? Church friends? I like that. Church friends. You guys. Okay. One call to your church friends, right, causes, you know, 5-6 brothers to have a full turn and move towards the Lord.
Amen.
And function in the church life.
Amen.
And be a generation that starts to bring the Lord back.
Amen.
Okay. So let's keep going. 2 Timothy 2:22. Let's all read that together. Okay, so with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart, all right? So we need to do this corporately. But one thing I've also been kind of encouraged by is the matter of, you know, companionships. And you guys, we've talked about having good friends, having good companions, and so forth. But one thing, I want to break a little concept, because I was talking to my mother, cover her, but I was talking to my mother, and she was talking about, there was a period in her life that was very, very hard. When, you know, this was a few years ago. I'm not talking about like when she was a kid or anything. I mean, she was my mother still, and I was, you know, this is maybe 10 years ago or so. And I was talking to her about it, and she was telling me, she says, yeah, some sister came up to me and said, there's no sisters that are my age in the locality that I'm in. And she was like, and I was like, well, that's a good point. I mean, how can we expect these kids in localities where there's maybe one or two young people, or at your school? There's no one at your school. There's no one at my school. No one at my high school. No one at my one brother at my middle school. But there's no one at my high school. How can we expect these kids to go on when there's not companions around them? You know, do we just expect them to go save someone? Here, you just go out and save someone and bring them back in, and then you can have a companion. No, I mean, that's a little, yes, that's glorious. Do it. But that's asking a lot. But what my mother said, she said, you know, for this period of time, my companions were high schoolers. And I was really impressed with that. This 40-year-old lady who said her companions were a bunch of 16-year-olds. You know, there was two or three 16-year-olds. And I bet if you ask those 16-year-olds who their companions were, they would say Dory Coy was my companion during that time. So we can't get in our head that if we don't have some physically around us that are our age, that are like us, that look like us, that we get along with, that this, that that, that this, and you start carving that box even smaller and smaller and smaller until there's nothing, right? That you can't have a companion. Yes, it's harder. It's harder to probably, as a 16-year-old, to be a companion of a 40-year-old. But it's possible. You can do it. So be desperate. Amen. Fight for this. Amen. Don't confine yourself because of a concept. If you're in a locality, if you're in a school, if you're in a place that doesn't have any others your age and you're praying for the Lord to give you a companion, maybe open your eyes a little more. Maybe there's a brother or sister serving there that's a teacher. Maybe there's someone that meets in your district that you can just say, hey, you need to come and have lunch with me. You know?
Yeah.
I need a companion at school and there's no other young people. And if you don't have lunch with me, I'm going to have lunch with these other kids. Right? They'll come, I promise. And if they don't, well, then there will be someone that does come. So break that concept. Yes, we need good friends. Yes, we have to associate with the best people. But when it comes to having someone to pursue with, if there's not someone immediately your age, open your eyes.
Amen.
There'll be someone else there. The Lord will provide. It just might not be in the way you expect it.
Amen.
Okay, so Ephesians 5:18. So Romans 1:9, God is my witness, whom I serve in spirit. Obviously, we are, you know, enjoying and serving together. Ephesians 5:18 through 19. Let's read that together. And psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Singing and songing with your hearts to the Lord.
Okay, so for whatever reason, I do enjoy singing. I don't have the best voice, but I do enjoy singing. I feel like that is one of the easiest ways to touch the Lord. I mean, we all know the Vincents, they get together. I was at the training, and I remember walking by. They don't even know this. I was walking by, and there was like four of them. I guess it's the semi-annual. They all got together. Four of the eight, only half the kids, and they were singing. I was like, wow, that's a beautiful noise, you know. But some of us, we don't make that beautiful of a noise. But I really believe a joyful noise, right? A joyful noise, and singing, and psalming with your heart to the Lord is one of the easiest ways to touch your spirit.
Amen.
It's funny, whenever I'm driving with my wife somewhere, and we know we need to pray, we know we need to touch our spirit because we just do. usually it's not, you know, Acacia's not like, hey, Jamark, we need to pray. Let's pray real quick. Let's call on the Lord. Let's just call Lord Jesus. If she started calling on the Lord, it might even just close me off a little bit sometimes, right? But if she'll say, hey, let's sing a song that Olive knows, like, Our God is So Great. And so we'll all sing it in the car together. Olive usually comes in every now and then, but she gets it. But just opening our mouth to sing to the Lord corporately with one another will turn our heart, will soften our heart, will open us to the saints, and will give us the way to go on. So we need to enjoy. We need to get into the Word. We need to be with one another corporately.
Amen.
Right? And I really believe, if you can't do anything else, I know you can sing something. So open your mouth and sing. Okay, so let's read three together. Being built up to as a spiritual house. Okay, maybe brothers on Ephesians 1:22 and sisters on 1 Peter 2:5.
In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling place of God in His Spirit.
Amen. So in 1 Peter 2:5, you know, it talks about living stones being built up. So this is God's goal, right? Not just that we'd have a bunch of little believers running around, but there would be some that were literally, spiritually built up together with one another, and that they could express and represent Him on the earth, right? I mean, that's the goal. But through this building up, we have to become stones. And I don't want to get too far off on a tangent, but I want to read you something encouraging that I read. You know, the process of being transformed, we all know, takes a long time, right? This is a lifelong matter. But I was encouraged by this. So this is in the life study. It says, when some, and in transformation to precious stones, a lot of times the illustration that's used is petrification of rock, right? Something that was wooden, sits in a stream, the minerals flow through, it turns into a rock. Pretty amazing, right? So, good illustration. So it says, when some hear a word concerning how long transformation takes, they may say, I can't wait so long. I'm guilty of that. I quit. Right? Actually, this is not up to you, for it is your destiny to be transformed.
Amen.
Wood that is in the process of being petrified cannot stop the process. You guys are all in the process of being petrified. You cannot stop the process.
Amen.
Okay? It is the destiny of this wood to be changed into petrified wood. We need to remember that according to chapter 1 of 1 Peter, we are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God before the foundation of the world. God has chosen us. Also, in our experience, we have been caught by Him.
Amen.
And we cannot escape, no matter how hard we may try.
Amen.
Therefore, instead of trying to escape, We should simply rest in the flow of the living water and allow this water to pass through us.
Amen.
So that we may be transformed. Okay? So that resting in the flow, all that is everything we've been talking about.
Amen.
Abstaining from death, turning to the Lord, being in the Word, being with the saints, resting in the flow.
Amen.
We're caught. It's over. It's done. I'm sorry. You're ruined. Your life is ruined. We all have to come to that, accept that reality at some point, that we are sons of God, and that we will be transformed.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go on to... Sorry, I don't know if I think my page turns, but yours doesn't. So, in love, right? Are we on in love?
Yep.
Okay, in love. So, sisters, let's read 1 Corinthians 3:14. Sorry, 1 John, sorry. I'm 1 Corinthians 8:1 is right above it. But 1 John 3:14.
We know we have passed out of death into life because we love the brothers.
Amen.
He who does not love abides in death.
Okay, so I'm a very, well, hopefully I'm less opinionated than I have been, but I'm a very opinionated person. I confess that. And I have always struggled with this verse about loving the brothers, right? He who has passed out of death into life because we love the brothers. And, you know, even growing up, there was always at least one brother that I did not love. Right? I think we can all relate to that. There is someone in the church life that just is not you by any stretch. And we're good at loving ourselves. We've grown up doing that. We're pretty good at it. But there is someone out there that just grates you the wrong way. And so, and I use this as an illustration. Don't get into your mind. So instead of Ian sitting next to Jason, Ian's going to sit over on this end. Right? And it's fine. Once they're separated, you know, you just tell yourself, well, it's fine now. I'm separated. I've got at least 15 people between me and this other brother. I don't have to worry about it. Right? But that is not the goal. The goal is not to find a locality where you don't dislike anybody. No, no. That defeats the purpose of Christ building you up as precious stones, right? And one of the best experiences I had of this was when I was in the training, small Bible school in California. They assign you to houses, and they just threw me into a house with a bunch of brothers that I was not like at all. I mean, my roommate was freshly saved from the Philippines, and I was a church kid that had, you know, was still trying to figure out things. And he was, you know, and he was great, really nice guy, but we were just two very different people, and we did not relate at all. My other roommates, you know, there were some that we had one who would have nightmares and start talking in Chinese at night. And I was a light sleeper. And so, I mean, I'd be up all night listening to this brother talk. And I was just like, Lord. And so, you know, you get up and you're like, all right, now we're going to go throughout the day today. And I'm going to hate your guts because I had to wake up at 6 a.m. Already. And you woke me up at 2, 4, and 5:30. And so... You know, there was an environment in which I could not sit 15 seats away from this brother. And so all of a sudden I had to come to grips with the fact of I do not love the brothers, right? But one thing I did find out, which was really, you know, by the mercy of God, he did not let me go, is that the way to love the brothers is not to have things in common with them, to figure out what you guys can talk about, to figure out, you know, a sport you can play together, or even to figure out what kind of nail polish you guys can share, right? The way to love the brothers, and when I say brothers, I mean brothers and sisters, is to touch your spirit with them.
Amen.
I guarantee you, if there is someone you have a problem with, even if it's not out, you know, an outward problem, even if you're not, oh yeah, we don't like each other, even if it's just something inwardly, you know, like, man, he just grates my skin whenever he does this, you know? If I go and say, or even, it doesn't even, you know, it's kind of hard for me just to go up to Manny and say, hey, let's pray. But if there's a group of us, and I say, hey, we need to pray together, or we need to sing a song together, we need to touch our spirit together, I guarantee you, your love for that person will grow. And all the things that were once so big in your mind will fade away. So that's the key. If there is anything between, just touch your spirit. Don't focus on what is between. Don't try to fix it. Just touch your spirit together, and there will be building. That's what this is. There will be precious stones being built up. And you will love the brothers.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go on to B. Let's read that together.
Through having a proper body consciousness.
Okay, brothers on Ephesians and sisters on 1 Corinthians.
Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but only that which is good for building up, that it may give grace to those who hear.
Okay. And sisters on 1 Corinthians.
But beware, lest somehow this right becomes a stumbling block to the weak ones. For the one who is weak is he destroyed by your knowledge, the brother because of whom Christ died.
Okay, so this matter of having a proper body consciousness. So on the one hand, you know, my story about the brother who called me and lifted up all five of us or so, he had a proper body consciousness, right? He realized if he touches the body in a positive way, there will be an impact that the enemy cannot touch. And that the Lord will be able to use so swiftly and quickly in a matter of time to accomplish what he's after.
Amen.
Right? So that's in the positive aspect. In the same vein, having a body consciousness also involves what we do in ourselves. What we do behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. Brothers, what you do behind closed doors affects the body. That's a fact. I'm just straight up. I mean, you know, on the one hand, there are no rules in the church life, right? And I think a lot of you grow up and there's rules you see and you hear the brothers speak. But really, what we're speaking is just our experience. This is what we have experienced, and we don't want you to make the same mistakes. But there are no rules, right? As long as you're not breaking the law, probably no one's going to be really rebuking you for anything. If you come to them, you know, if one of these brothers comes to me and says, hey, I'm doing this, it's not against the law, but, you know, I haven't been able to pray in the last 3 months, I'm going to say, well, brother, maybe you shouldn't do that anymore. I'm not telling you you have to, but that might be what's between you and the Lord. Yeah. Because as Rudy pointed out, there's different levels, right? Yeah. There's man's conscience, there's morality, there's man's law, there's God's law. But finally, we get to the law of spirit of life. And the law of spirit of life actually is a lot tighter, if you read Matthew, is a lot tighter and a lot more fine than even God's law. I mean, God's law talks about not killing people. The law of spirit of life talks about everything, you know? I mean, you're limited in so many ways. So we need to have a proper body consciousness. So on the one hand, I'm not here to make, you know, to say this is a rule or this is not. But I do want to let you know what I have seen and what I have heard and be honest and faithful to you in that regard. I mean, for instance, you know, we don't go around and say you can't have a boyfriend or girlfriend. That's your parents' decision, right? You're under your parents' house. I would encourage you to wait because there are so many things that can defile you. But you know, you may be a senior and your parents may be fine with it and you may feel like you are mature enough to have a boyfriend or a girlfriend, right? And so you do. Now, I don't want to say that's fine, but that's okay. But when you bring that into the church life, and you bring it around a bunch of sixth graders, and they're looking up to you, and they're saying, wow, Susie has a boyfriend, or Jeremy has a girlfriend, and man, you know, I might be only in seventh grade, but if they're doing it, then you can be a stumbling block to some. Yeah. Right? Right? I mean, I'm serious. You can stumble some. I've been stumbled. And I'm sure I have stumbled some. And, you know, I have to be before the Lord. And those stumbled have to be before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to reconsecrate my vow. And those that stumble have to be before the Lord and say, Lord, I want to reconsecrate my vow. But what you do in yourself, even if it is something that is allowed by your parents and by your family, if you bring that into the church life, that is something that could really affect those below you. Right. And I don't mean to harp on this, but I received this word, and I think all should receive this word, but in Luke, actually in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it talks about it. In Luke, I think it's the best just because of how it phrases it. It says, And he said to, this is Luke 17:1, and he said to his disciples, it is impossible for causes of stumbling not to come, but woe to him through who they come, right? So it's impossible. We are going to stumble people, and we are going to be stumbled. That's just a fact, right? We're going to see things that bother us, and we're going to have to go to the Lord about it. And we're going to do things that bother others, and we're going to have to repent about it. But two is quite weighty. It says, it is more profitable for him, the stumbler, if a millstone is put around his neck and he is hurled into the ocean or into the sea, than to stumble one of these little ones. So I just want to say, you older ones, actually all of you, there's always littler ones below you, but especially you older ones, there are things you just don't bring into the church. If you want to be in that, you be in that. But when you bring it into the church and you could stumble younger ones, the Lord does not look highly upon that. And that's a direct transgression against the church. So be careful. Myself, there are things that I can do legally. I am 30, coming up on 32 years old. When I turned 18, there were some things I could do legally. When I turned 21, there were some things I could do legally. But there are things I do not touch, even though I can do them legally, because I fear that verse. Right? Because I fear that there will be someone younger than me that sees something going on and they feel like they have a right to do the same thing. Yeah. And I stumble them, and that verse, which my mother so willingly instilled in me, is with me, and it scares me. So that we limit ourselves, yeah. Not because of a law, not because of man's law, or even because of, you know, the church rules, which there, I mean, you need... I wish you could see how glorious the church was. You need to see how glorious the church is. There are not rules. But because of what the brothers say. But the limitation is a freeing. You know, me not partaking of certain things because of that has saved me from so much. I don't have to explain to my coworkers different things. I don't have to explain to the young people different things. It's just a non-issue. It's not there. So, and it's not something that I'm like, oh man, the Lord won't let me do this. I really have no desire to have that kind of impact on the young people, upon my coworkers. Thus, it's fine. I mean, yes, it's a struggle in some ways, but it's fine. And I move on. So, be body conscious. Amen. What we do behind closed doors, what we do on our own, affects the body. But if we're those that call up our, you know, church friend that we've been friends with for 10 years, we haven't talked to in 6 months, and they're at a different university, and they say, I've had a turn. Amen. We need to go on.
Amen.
That body consciousness will produce such a positive outcome.
Amen.
It will bring on your friends. You will suddenly have more companions than you did before. And the Lord will be able to move on this earth in such a glorious way.
Amen.
Okay, so that's point B. I'm sorry, I didn't want to leave you with that. Let's move on to point C. You all know that. So now it's done, and I feel released. Let's move on to point C, because what is point C? Let's read point C together.
By functioning according to our measure.
Okay, let's alternate on the verses. We'll start with sisters on Romans, then we'll go to brothers on 1 Corinthians, and then all together on 1 Peter 2:9b.
For just as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ.
Amen.
And individually members of one another.
Amen.
Whenever you come together, each one has a song, has a teaching, has a revelation, has a tongue,
Amen.
Has an interpretation. Let all things be done for building up.
So that you may tell out
the virtues of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Okay, let's read 1 Peter 2:9b again. So that
you may tell out the virtues of him
Amen.
Who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
So that you may tell out the virtues. Why are you telling it out? Because you realize he has called you out of darkness and into his marvelous light. I think even in our last message, we all realized, we had a firm realization that the Lord is calling us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And there is an issuance of that, right? When he calls us out, what do? We open our mouths, and then he calls us out even more, right? the Lord appears to us even more. You know, in a couple messages ago, there were some points that I kind of briefly went over, but a couple of them really touched me. And one was, you know, in functioning as a priesthood, what happens is we speak for God,
Amen.
Right? We open our mouth.
Amen.
And I think that's, I can't say this happens all the time, which because it doesn't, definitely doesn't. But sometimes, and I'm realizing there's a differentiator between the two times. Sometimes when I call in, I have to call in and book, you know, flights or call in to have the cable fixed or, you know, internet, whatever we have, this, that, and the other. So I call in, I talk to, hey, this is Joanne from Oklahoma. What can I do for you today? And I'm like, my internet's not working. I need you to fix it. Oh, okay. Or you overbilled me and you need to do this. Oh, okay. We work through it. We try not to fight too much. And then at the end, the Lord always bothers me. Because at the end, they're like, hey, can I do anything else for you? You've got a captive audience, right? And so I have to say, just sometimes I say, you know, my name's John Mark, and I love the Lord Jesus, and I was just wondering if you do too. And I have to say, every single time, I don't think, maybe there's one time, but every single time, they've said, you know, I love the Lord too. I'm in, you know, Miles City, Montana, but I love the Lord, and I'm so happy you said that, that made my day. And I'm like, oh, wow, okay. But you know what? Other times, I'm just like, nah, there's nothing else you can do for me, see ya. And I hang up, right? You know what the difference is between those two times? One is, if I've been enjoying the Lord that day, if I've had, you know, maybe just even a little bit of morning revival or read the Word, or, oh, I have to prepare for a conference, so I have to actually enjoy the Lord and get into the ministry, right? I am much more, the odds of me saying something of the Lord just go through the roof.
Yeah.
And you have to realize, there's a correlation, guys. It's not just a matter of, well, I never feel like I can speak for the Lord. You get into the Word, you start singing with your friends, you pray with your friends for this, and you'll be on the phone with Southwest Airlines, and they'll say, is there anything else I can do for you? And you'll say, yes, I love the Lord Jesus. I'm wondering if you do too. And that's it. You know, that's as far as I've gotten. I haven't, you know, preached the gospel on the phone or anything. I don't want to get them in trouble either. But that brings in life. That's what the Lord is after. That is the building that the Lord is after between the members of the body of Christ.
Amen.
Open your mouth. Speak forth the word of the Lord, right? Speak forth your enjoyment. It's not a small thing to do, but it's incredibly hard. It's impossible if you're not already enjoying the Lord.
Amen.
Okay. And then finally, we're able to bless others. You know, when we are with the Lord in this way, especially as the years go on, your very presence to others is a blessing.
Amen.
They're brothers that they know my situation. They know there's some parts of my situation that I don't even like to pray about because just it's too much. If you can even think of that. But me being around them, me just being with them, most of the times they probably say something about the Lord, nothing much, but they are a blessing to me. You know, just their very presence. You walk up to them in a meeting, and they pat you on the shoulder, and it's a blessing. And I know there are sisters like that. So this is our goal. You know, you're not going to be walking around laying your hands on brothers, I bless you, I bless you, I bless Ian. And everybody's like, oh, Jamarc is such a blessing to the church life. He goes around blessing everybody. No. These ones just walk into a room. And you know what? The brother who's sharing is able to flow out more. And he's released. This sister sits on the back row and she's, you know, maybe an older sister that nobody really, all the young people don't really know who she is. But what they don't know is that sister is praying for all their souls.
Amen.
You know,
Amen.
That she is one of the prayer warriors of the church. And she gets together with other sisters on a weekly basis and just prays for the brothers.
Amen.
You know, we don't know these things, but you're just a blessing.
Amen.
You are a blessing to the church.
Amen.
And you can be a blessing to the church at your age. You walk into a prophesying meeting and you share, you bless the church.
Amen.
You know, you go to a home meeting and you just sit and sing with the saints, you're a blessing to the church.
Amen.
You know, these corporate gatherings of the church are not exempt from. You aren't just supposed to go to the young people's meeting.
That's right.
You can go to any gathering. You go to a prayer meeting and just sit there because, man, there's a lot of older people and they're praying really loud and I don't think I can really enter in. But you sit there and say amen, and you are a blessing to the church.
Amen.
So be a blessing to the church.
Amen.
Hide in the church.
Amen.
Let the church be your safeguard.
Amen.
And you guys will Just like it says, you will be transformed. You're already in the process. Just stay in the flow.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen. So we have some prayer.